This is Timor Leste. If you, dear viewer, were born before May 20th, 2002, then congratulations, you are older than this country, the fifth youngest internationally recognized sovereign nation. At 19 years old, it would qualify as a legal adult in some parts of the world. Timor-Leste, meaning East-East in Malay and Portuguese, is situated in South-Southeast Asia, just above Australia. Its closest neighbor, however, is Indonesia, with whom it shares half the island of Timor, about the size of Hawaii. But, just to complicate things, part of its territory is governed as a detached special administrative region inside Indonesia. Like many young developing nations, Timor-Leste is poor. Really poor. Approximately 40% of the population is unable to afford daily necessities, and over half of all children under the age of 5 are developmentally stunted, more than all but two other countries. The problem is essentially this. To live longer, happier lives, the country needs more and better jobs. Currently, only about 25% of the working age population is employed in the formal economy. The rest either can't find work, or are preoccupied with farming or basic household duties. Now, to get jobs, it would need some form of investment. And to get investment, it would need some kind of resource worthy of extraction. And, in fact, it does. As of 2020, Timor-Leste's GDP was $1.8 billion. And yet, just 90 miles off its coast sits somewhere between $20 and $50 billion, depending on prices, worth of oil and liquid petroleum gas. This is not a new discovery. Its existence has been known to the world for nearly 50 years. There's just one tiny problem. Sponsored by CuriosityStream and Nebula, where you can watch the bonus video which accompanies this one for just 15 bucks a year. Timor-Leste's path to independence was tumultuous, to say the least. In 1998, after 20 years of violent Indonesian occupation in which hundreds of thousands were killed, pro-democracy protests led to the resignation of its president, Suharto. His replacement was more amenable to change, or at least its appearance, and in 1999 called a referendum on independence. Between becoming a special autonomous region of Indonesia and forming a new independent country, an overwhelming majority of the 450,000 voters, 78%, chose the latter. Not expecting this outcome, and having only wished to use the vote to win legitimacy, Indonesia began a new campaign of total destruction. During this time of UN-maintained limbo, nearly all of the region's infrastructure was burned to the ground, and its people forcibly shipped to the western Indonesian side. By the time of formal independence in 2002, Timor-Leste had, at last, a strong, healthy democracy. And not much else. Its newfound freedom had truly cost it everything. There was, perhaps, only one silver lining. It had one thing few other young nations do. Oil. Lots of it. And the timing could not have been better. This is a graph of global oil prices. Its first and only developed oil field, Bayu Undan, was built here in 2004, when construction costs were at their lowest. And this is when Bayu Undan reached peak production, around 70 million barrels a year, precisely when oil prices reached their highest ever on record. Because of this, fragile young Timor-Leste's sovereign wealth fund was the only one to survive the 2008 financial crisis unscathed. It was an amazing stroke of luck for the place that needed it the most. But no oil field lasts forever. Oil revenue peaked in 2012 at $3.56 billion and has been in sharp decline since. Now, this would be concerning, disastrous even, for any country. But for Timor-Leste, this could be existential. As the second most oil-dependent country on Earth, 90% of its public revenue and 80% of its GDP comes from this one resource. None of this money, however, has translated into long-term development. Its economy has not fundamentally changed despite these riches. Between 2014 and 18, the number of private employees fell by 15%, despite the working age population increasing by 10%. Instead, oil has really only delayed the inevitable. Meanwhile, the money is rapidly running out. This is the amount of oil money the government could spend sustainably, that is, only the interest. And this is how much it is spending. If trends continue, experts predict the money will be all gone in 10 to 15 years. Which brings us to the Greater Sunrise Field, 5 trillion cubic feet of gas and 225 million barrels of condensate worth $50 billion southeast of Timor-Leste. Although located in deeper water, Greater Sunrise is actually closer than Bayou Undan. And this time, the country has a plan to convert this temporary windfall into lasting prosperity. The difference is that this time the oil will be processed onshore, creating local jobs and, in theory, developing the wider economy. The Tasi Mane project, as it's known, involves converting over 1,000 hectares of agricultural land across 3 towns into interconnected petroleum processing facilities. If managed well, this could be step one on the path to Timor-Leste's development, a pivotal turning point for the entire country. So, what exactly is the problem? It all started with oysters. As the world began figuring out who owned which parts of the ocean, Australia's primary concern was preventing Japanese fishermen from harvesting oysters off its northern coast. The big debate at the time was, should maritime boundaries be drawn halfway between two countries, or following the natural geology of continental shelves? For Australia, with a large continental shelf and a dozen tiny neighbors, the answer was obvious. And so, after US President Harry Truman set the precedent by taking the latter approach, Australia saw its golden opportunity to do likewise. But it would soon find something far more profitable than oysters. Having unilaterally claimed ownership of this entire region, which came as close as 30 miles to the Timor coast, it began confidently searching for oil. By 1965, Australia had issued exploration permits to Woodside, Shell, Arco, and several others, for areas far closer to Indonesia than its own land borders. The two countries then reached a border agreement that heavily favored Australia. But that still left a giant question mark over this area. East Timor was then a Portuguese colony, whom Australia refused to negotiate with. Instead, it waited. And in 1975, Indonesia solved this problem for Australia by invading Portuguese Timor. It sat by, as up to 200,000 people were killed. In 1989, they reached an agreement that split the gap into 3 zones, one in which oil revenue would be shared equally, and 2 in which one country was entitled to 90%. Minus the protests at home, it went exactly as Australia had hoped. These boundaries even remained after Timor-Leste became independent 13 years later, except that the new country was now entitled to 90% of revenue from the shared zone, rather than just half. Its people had no say during Portuguese colonial times, were represented by Indonesian occupiers for the next 25 years, and even after independence, only inherited the previous agreement. But it still had not yet seen the full lengths Australia would go to steal its oil. In 2006, the two governments signed a new agreement that essentially postponed the topic of maritime boundaries in the interest of just getting drilling. The profits from the Greater Sunrise Field, the crown jewel, remember, would now be split 50-50. 6 years later, the world learned some shocking news. During the negotiations, the Australian Secret Service had planted hidden listening devices near the office of Timor-Leste's Prime Minister. Even after word got out, it refused to invalidate the treaty. Only in 2018, after bringing the case to the International Court of Justice, did they finally resolve the dispute. Under the new agreement, Timor-Leste will get 70% of the revenue if the oil is piped to its shores, and 80% if it flows through Australia. In 2019, the country spent $650 million in public funds to buy a controlling stake in the oil field. After nearly half a century of waiting, Timor-Leste finally regained control of its own destiny. But it may have been too late. Australia's negotiating strategy, apart from outright bullying, was always to delay. Unlike its neighbor, it didn't need the money urgently, and new time was on its side. Now, today, with fossil fuels slowly on their way out, and as oil prices plummeted during the pandemic, Timor-Leste finds itself in a dilemma. On one hand, it could learn the lesson of other oil-dependent nations and process the oil and gas onshore, creating new jobs and hopefully growing the overall economy. But independent analysts say at 70%, accounting for the cost to build the infrastructure, it would only break even. After all that work, it wouldn't even make money. In fact, the project is so economically questionable that even China, famous for its debt trap diplomacy, refused to fund it. On the other hand, it could instead pipe the oil to Australia, in which case it would receive 80% of the revenue. But in that case, it would eventually return right back where it started, with no new jobs or economic activity. The Tassi-Mane project has been ridiculed as a white elephant. Its four-lane superhighway literally crumbling apart, and its pristine yet empty airport have all the hallmarks of irresponsible, populist-pleasing spending. Still, the question remains, what should it do to escape its state of poverty? The unfortunate truth is that there may not be a good answer. The reason for Timor-Leste's troubles ultimately comes down to maritime border ambiguities. Throughout history, the sea has been divided by doing everything from drawing a line right down the middle to measuring the distance a cannon could shoot from the shore. We explore this question in more depth in this exclusive bonus video on Nebula, called Who Owns the Ocean? Nebula is home to other Polymatter bonus videos, entirely exclusive Nebula originals from other great channels, plus ad-free and early access. You can get Nebula and CuriosityStream for just $15 a year. I recently watched this great CuriosityStream documentary on Brunei, another tiny oil-dependent country not far from Timor-Leste, but Brunei is one of the last true absolute monarchies, ruled by a sultan. It explores the question, how will it survive when it eventually runs out of oil? Click the link on screen right now to get both Nebula and CuriosityStream for just over $1 a month, and go watch the bonus video over on Nebula.